Let's do it. We are on the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Gemara again is a lot of agadata going on over here. We're not in your typical Gemara. But here we go. Gemara said, Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alos, there were 15 steps. And remember, that was the Mishnah. The Mishnah was describing the Kohanim as they would walk down the steps and they were blowing the tekiah, true tekiah on the way. So Gemara is going to get involved in those issues. I don't know why he has to remain anonymous, but Rechista said to somebody, a member of the official Rabbanan list, the Moetzes Gedolei Torah of Bavel, I don't know. Anyway, the Habe Kamasadu Eragadu Gamay, because this particular fellow was presenting, Kamasadu literally, he was organizing, but he was presenting Agadita, which are the legends and the stories, Nidrashim, in front of Rav Chista. So what did Rav Chista say to him? Amarle, he said to this fellow, Shmieli, let me hear, cause me to hear, tell me, these 15 steps, connected me, Amaram David. Who did David say them according to? So wait a minute, steps, David, what's going on over here? So the answer is the 15 ma'alos is, there's another girsa, by the way, in the Gemara, the 15 shir hama'alos, which makes a little bit more sense. But either way, that's what it refers to. That the 15 shir hama'alos in Tehillim, right, you guys know that? There are 15 shir hama'alos in Tehillim? You know any of them? Ooh, which one's that?
The classic,
right?
Yeah.
I don't know, I would think maybe the most classic is the shir hama'alos of Sayyid Shabbos, you know? B'shuv Hashem, b'shuv Hatzim, and Ayinu Kecholmim. But whatever it is, there are 15 shir hamalos. So this is a little bit of a funny question. But Rav Chista said to him, what are the 15 shir hamalos, what do they correspond to? Can I get me Amaram David? David made them corresponding to what? Amar lei. So this fellow responded to him, Achi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said, B'sha'a shekara David shisen. At the time that David carved out the shisen. Now, if you remember, we spoke about this a few days ago, that the shisen are different opinions. It seems like they were there from Sheish Shisen Meibreshis. If they were there from the 6 days of creation, David HaMelech is not carving them out. So if you say that, if you take that approach, that they were always there from creation, then you have to say maybe they got filled with dirt, and who knows what, you know, and he had to dig them out again. But not that David HaMelech actually formed them, just that he opened them up and revealed them. Either way, at the time that David HaMelech opened up these shisin, kafa tehoima, the tehoim, right, which means the waters that are in the depths. The depths rose up, uboi, and they, so to speak, wanted the mishtifa alma, to drown the world.
The water from the
tehoim wanted to come up and overcome the world and drown the world. Amar David Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alos, David HaMelech said these 15 shir hama'alos were redone, and he made them go back down. Okay, said Rav Chista, Hachi, if that's right, Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alos yordos miboile. Why are they called Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alos? You know, 15 going ups. They should be 15 going downs. It should have been. Amalei, so Rav Chista said to him, Hoyo va idkaritan. You want to take a guess what idkaritan means? Use one of our Aramaic tricks. Letters that switch. Dalet and what? Yeah, Dalet and Zion. Duchra means male. Dachar, right? So Lizkor is to remember. Hoyove idkartan, hoyove izkartan. Since you reminded me, you mentioned to me, or reminded me about this whole parsha over here. Hachi itmar. This is what I remember now that you remember. B'shashakar David shisen. At the time that David carved out or opened up these shisen, kafa tohima, well, mishva alma, the tohim rose up and wanted to drown the world. Amar David mi'ika diyada ishari lemichtav shame. Does anyone know, mi'ika diyada, is there anyone that knows ishari, if it is, what's shari? Sha'ar. Shari is the word you gotta know. It's Aramaic all over Shas, it means to permit. Shari is permissible. Shari is permit. Mutter, shari, 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 shari. Shari is to permit. Ishari, if it is permissible, the michtav shame, to write a name, what name? A name of Hashem. A chaspa. You know what that means? Chaspa? means a shard of pottery. Are you allowed to write the name of Hashem on a shard? And to place it or toss it into the tehoim, umonach, and then it'll rest at the opening of the tehoim. What in the world is going on here? So David HaMelech wants to know if he's allowed to do some sort of Kabbalistic incantation with writing a name on a piece of heavy pottery that will sink to the bottom of the depths and rest at the bottom where, so to speak, the depths open up. And because of the shame that he was writing, it would make them close up and perhaps, you know, go down or whatever. Yeah? Yep. And so that's what he's asking. Does anybody know if it's mutter? Why would it not be mutter? So what's going to happen to it? Anything happen to it?
Maybe it might break or you use it for something.
Break, might get erased maybe in the water.
Also, like you might, like you're using it for something.
Or maybe some, that you're using it for a purpose that's not a very holy purpose. You're using it for some utility. Maybe it's just not the right way to behave. So, Leka de Ka'amar Le Midi. Leka there was not. That said to him midi a word, anything. So nobody responded, in other words. No one said anything. Amar David called the other lemeimar. David apparently had a sense. I don't know. Either David felt somebody didn't want to say something for some reason, or he just needed to put greater pressure on them to get them to work. Maybe they weren't thinking enough as advisors. I don't know. But he says, called the other lemeimar, whoever knows to say, ve'eno lemeimar doesn't say, ichanek begaroinoin. Should be strangled in his throat. In other words, it should choke to death. Whoever knows the answer to this and is not telling me or not working hard to figure it out should suffer death by choking. Nasa Achi Teufel, Kavachar Asme. Achi Teufel, who was one of the most brilliant minds at the time of David HaMelech, one of his most brilliant advisors, he literally raised a Kavachar in himself. Nasa is to raise, to lift up. But he made a Kal V'chomer to himself. Umalas is shalom ben ish la'ish d'amra Torah. If what to make peace between husband and wife, when it comes to making peace between husband and wife, Amra Torah said, Shemi, Shenech l'mikdusha, that was written with sanctity, Yimche al Hamayim la'asay shalom. Yimche, what's yimche?
Erased.
To be erased. Shall be erased. Will be erased on the water to make peace. L'chalolam kulay, for the entire world, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so? What in the world did he just say? Zach Devil made the following call of the Chimer. If to make peace between husband and wife, the terrorist said, my name that is written with sanctity should be erased on the water. So what does that mean?
Shall be erased?
Yeah.
No water, it'll be erased.
Yeah, what's he talking about?
Name of Hashem.
What name of Hashem is erased to make peace between husband and wife?
Sota,
exactly. Bingo. When it comes to Sota, here you have a guy, and he told his wife, don't be alone with that guy. I don't trust you with him. Don't be alone with that guy. I don't trust him with you. Don't be alone with him. And what did she do? She went ahead and was alone with him in front of witnesses. So now he doesn't know. Did she actually have relations with him or not?
Is it true that Sota never happened?
No, they get the man. They did happen.
Really? Because I remember, I remember learning it, and then at the end, my rabbi was like, yeah, it never happened. Or that it should be my imagination.
I don't know. So what happens? So they write the parsha of the Sota, which includes the name of Hashem, and it's written properly by Sofer, so that means it's written by Kedusha, and they scrape off all of those letters into the water, and that's what she, along with some dirt from the floor, and she has to drink it. That's to make shalom between husband and wife. How does it make shalom between them? Because now he knows she didn't cheat on him. She didn't have bia with this guy. So then the Kal V'chomer was, so if that's true, just between husband and wife, for the entire world, shouldn't die. So how much more so it should be allowed? Omar Lay, so he apparently doesn't sound like he told David HaMelech the rationale for some reason. I don't know why. But he said to him, Shari. What's Shari?
Permissible.
Permissible. Because of Shema Chasva, he wrote a shame on the shard, Vishari Latahima, and he sent it down to the depths. Vinachis Tahima, and the Tahom Noach, Nachis, it rested. Shitzar Alfe Garmide, it went down 16,000 amos. Garmide means amos. 16,000 amos it went down. Kichazi Nachis Tuva, when David Amel saw that it went down so much, Tuva means more. It went down more, meaning so much. Omar, he said, Kama de Midli Tfe, how much it will go up more. Midli Dole means to like draw something out of the well, let's say. You want to draw something out of the water, draw something out of the well. So Midla Dole, that's what Dole is actually, a bucket. So the more that the water is raised up, Mirtav Alma, the world will be more moist.
In
a good way. Things will grow properly and the soil will have moisture, but the farther down it goes, it's going to be bad. So I thought I was doing such a good thing, but then, oops, a little too much medicine, and the depths went too far down. So what did he do? Omar, Chamesh Yisrei Malos, he said the 15 Shira Malos, V'aske, and he lifted, he raised up the water, Chamesar Alfei Garmide, 15,000 amens. The oikme, and he established it, he left it fixed, V'alfei Garmide, 1,000 amens below the earth. Omar Ula said, when you heard this, Shema Mina, we hear, we learn from here, Sumcha da'ara, the thickness of the earth, Alvigarmide is 1,000 amos. The earth is 1,000 amos before you hit the Tahoim. V'hachazina and the Karina and Porta, v'nafke maya, but behold, we see that you dig a little bit. Porta means a little bit. V'nafke maya, what's nafke? What's the Shoresh?
Poke.
The Nafke Maya. What's Maya?
Water.
Maya. You dig a little bit and water comes out. How could it possibly be that the Tahom is 1,000 amos below the surface of the earth? You dig a little bit and water comes out. Can't be. Isn't that the Tahom? Amar Masharshia, Hahumi Sulma de Paras. That's not the Tahom. That is the tributaries or pathways of the river called Pras. You guys remember this? In the beginning of Bereishis, there are these Naros, Ayotos, Me'eden, these rivers of Gwara Gan Eden. You know what they are?
Yeah. Aren't they like...
Remember the names? Chideka.
What's that not called? I don't know.
You remember?
English translation, like,
yes, right.
And the Tigris?
Right.
My source references to that.
So in Bereishis it says, V'nahar yotzei me'eden, l'hashka sesed gan. There was a river that went out of Eden to water the river, the garden. V'shami from Abraham al-Rashim, and it split into four. Shema echad Pishon. One was Pishon, and Sheni Gichon, Shlishi Chideko, and the Revi Pras. So that's what we're talking about, Pras. We saw with the Pras that somehow the water that is on the surface is all coming from the waters of Pras. What exactly that means, I have no idea. But that's what I said. It's not water from the Tahoim, it's the tributaries or the pressure that's coming from the channels or whatever from Pros. Going on, so the Kohanim started at the what we call Shar Nikanor, and they would walk down those 15 steps to correspond to those Shiramalos and David HaMelech, which were said when? So did you follow what just happened in the Gemara? So there was a confusion as to what it means are Shir HaMalos, why aren't there Shir HaYordos? So the answer is because they didn't actually make the water go down. They were actually what made the water come back up.
They already made it go down with Hashem's name.
Correct.
Too deep, so they didn't come back
you
up.
Got it. It went too deep because of the shame, and he raised them back up with his Shir HaMa'alos. Okay? But Rav Yirmiyah asked a question. The Gemara, the Mishnah told us that they went down to the 10th step, right? And then they would blow tkiya tritkiya. So lamala asiris dinachis chamisha v'kaya asara. Is it that, what does it mean the 10th step? That's the problem. What do you mean they went down to the 10th step? 10th step of theirs? Or 10th step from the floor up? Is it that they went down 10 steps and there were 5 left? Or they went down to the 10th step, which means from the floor, this is the 10th step up. They only went down 5. Which is it? Sirius dinachis chamisha v'kaya asara. 10th meaning they went down 5 and they remained on the 10th step up. Maybe they went down 10 steps, and now they're on the 5th step. Teiku. Let it stand. Literally, teiku. Let it stand. Or some say it's an acronym for Tishbi, Tarets, Kushi, Zavayas, Elio, Navi will answer all these kinds of caches, but we don't know. Tana Rabbana. Remember, the Braisa said that when they were exiting the Beis HaMikdash to draw the water, so they turned away. They were heading to the east, and they turned their back on the east, and they faced west, and they said, our ancestors faced the east towards, you know, the sun, and basically did Avodah Zarah. We're not like them. We're committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the way it's expressed is, Upnayam Kedma, and Acharayam Elheichal Hashem. Their faces were towards the east, towards the sun, and their backs were towards the Heichal. They turned their backs towards Hashem. Why do you have to say it like that? Rather, what's it coming to teach us? Their faces were to the east and their backs were to the Heichal Hashem. Obviously their backs were towards the... they don't have faces on both sides. If they're facing east, then obviously their backs were towards the Heichal Hashem. Why do you have to tell me their backs were towards the Heichal Hashem? Obviously they are. They're facing east. So what is it adding? You ready for this? Buckle your seatbelt. It teaches us that They mooned the Heichal. Purin Atzman, that they opened up their backsides. Matrizin Klape Mata, and they sent out excrement towards Mata, towards the below, which is a play on words. It really means to the above. Meaning they turned around, they, so to speak, mooned HaKadosh Baruch Hu and excreted in his direction.
That can't be true.
What does that mean? Something they worship Baal Peor? Like that was how they worship Baal Peor, right? They would like poop in front of the statue. So I'll fill it in with this, that Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes that the way the world works is that we're all created B'Tzelem Elokim. And I think we've mentioned before my mashal about the marionettes, remember? And then we have all this control, all this power over all these oilamois. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that all of these oilamois are pipes. And there's spiritual energy that we're completely and totally in charge of. And when we do the right thing, we bring a tremendous amount of positive spiritual energy to the world. And it can be sensed. You know, it's hard to feel it, but it's true. And when a person does a mitzvah in one part of the world, it affects the entire world because of that, because he's opened up a door of spiritual energy to impact the entire world. And that's how important it is, every little mitzvah that we do. We're making a big difference to the entire world. It's not just that we're fixing our midos and we're becoming better people. It's that we make a big difference to the entire spiritual dynamic of the world. He says, but it works the opposite way also. That when a person does an avera, he introduces filth into the system. He pollutes the system. Yeah? So he says, that's what it means, Baal Peor. What they were trying to express when they pooped in front of their statue, their idol, they're trying to express this idea that that's what they're interested in doing. They're not interested in relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They want to pollute the system. So that's literally pollution, waste. They're creating waste. They're introducing waste into the system. So they're saying the same thing. Our ancestors who were here are worshipped Avodah Zarah. What's Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is turning their backs on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and introducing waste into his entire spiritual dynamic system. So perhaps that's what the Gemara has in mind.
Who are they talking about right now?
The people that were the cause of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash.
I thought they were talking about the people that were playing the instruments.
No, this is the declaration of the Mishnah. I have to go back to the Mishnah. I didn't explain it enough, I'm sorry. Mishnah had said that when they left to collect the water from the rib, from the Mayan, from the Gihon, so then they made a declaration. our ancestors in this place, they turned towards the east and their backs were towards the Heichal. We are not like that. We turn around and we're facing the Heichal. And we are committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our eyes are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But our ancestors turned the best. So the Gemara wants to know why you have to say their backs were towards the Heichal. Obviously their backs were towards the Heichal if they're facing east. No, it means their rear ends were facing the Heichal and they introduced waste, they excreted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direction. So I'm trying to explain that by saying the way that Rechaim Veleshner, Nefesh HaChaim, the way he explains the Pa'or, the Vodizara called Baal Pa'or, is in that same way. And perhaps he would explain this Gemara in the same fashion, that it's doing Avodah Zarah and turning one's back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu is introducing filth, pollution, and waste into the system, which prevents all of the appropriate light from entering the world. Be that as it may, the excreted klape mata, which is lashon saginor, that really means klape mala, they excreted in Hashem's direction. Anu leka leka einenu. So the declaration they made was that we are to Hashem, and to Hashem are our eyes. So those of you that have learned brachas recently, so you may remember that the Gemara says you're not allowed to do certain things, repetitions that imply there's more than one force of control of the world. So you're not allowed to say Shema, Shema. You're not allowed to say Modim, Modim. You're not allowed to say things that are doubled because it makes it sound like, oh, there's like two gods and you're speaking to both of them. So when you say Anu Lika, we are to Hashem, Ulika Inenu and to Ka are our eyes, it sounds like there are two separate Hashems you're speaking to over here. Say it all at once, say it all together. The Gemara says, Ini, how could that be? But didn't Rabbi Zera say, "Kol Omer Shema Shema"? Whoever says Shema twice doubles it up. Kilo Amar Moedim Moedim. It's just like Moedim Moedim. And you're not allowed to. The Mishnah says explicitly, you're not allowed to say thank you, thank you. It sounds like you're saying it to two different forces. Elahachi Amri. This is what they used to say. Hema Mishtachavim Kedima. Our ancestors bowed to the east. V'anu Lika, and we are committed. We are to Hashem. Ve'inenu and our eyes, leka to Hashem miyachalos. We daven. So it's two separate points. To say the same point twice makes it sound like two forces, but it's two separate points. And number one, we're committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are two different points. So that doesn't sound like a repetition. It sounds like that both are correct, and that's not a problem. So we adjusted what the Mishnah says.
But if it's the same word twice, like you can't say Shema twice.
Right, that for sure.
But if it's two different words that sound like you're repeating with two different meanings, it's good.
Yeah, if it's two different points, two different behaviors, or two different things that you're doing. So the Mishnah says, next Mishnah, Ein poichsin mi esrim ba'achas tikiyos ba'mikdash. There are no less than 21 blasts of the shofar or chatzotzros in the mikdash. There are always 21. Sounds like every single day. Okay. But there's never more than 48. Every day of the week, there were at least 21 blasts. B'mikdash, how so? Shalosh, lepsichas sha'arim. Three, when they opened the gates to the base of Mikdash. V'teish le'tamet shel shachar. Nine that were associated with the tamet shel shachar. V'teisha l'tamid shel ben arba'im, and the same nine for the tamid of the afternoon. V'musafin hayimusifin oyed teisha. If there was a korban musaf, there were another nine. V'erev Shabbos hayimusifin sheish. And on Erev Shabbos, there was an additional six. Shalish l'havtilas amim malacha. Three, that was to stop people from doing malacha before Shabbos arrives. V'shalish l'havdil ben kodesh l'chol. And three, right before Shabbos, to distinguish between Chol and the Shabbos that's about to begin. This is what, like the 18-minute idea comes from here, that there's an advance, you have to stop doing malacha in advance of Shabbos. So there were two separate blasts.
Don't you also do, any time additionally to the end of Shabbat?
Yeah, there's also an Indian to add to Motzei Shabbos as well.
Correct.
Erev Shabbos Shabbosei Chagag, if you have Erev Shabbos on Chol HaMoed, Hayersham Arbaim Ushmaina, there were 48, that's the max. Shalash Psichas Sharim, three when they opened the gates. Shalash Shahar Elyain, Three, so it's Chol HaMoed specifically of Sukkot that we're talking about. Three for the upper gate, V'Shalosh HaRatachdain, and another three for the lower gate to go out to draw the water. V'Shalosh HaMilu Yomayim, three when they actually drew the water. V'Shalosh HaGav B'Mizbeach, three, another three when they poured the water on the Mizbeach. And then the regular ones. Teshul Tamid, Shal Shachar, Teshul Tamid Shabbat Arbayim. Nine for the morning Tamid, nine for the afternoon Tamid, Teshul Misafin, nine for the Musaf. Shalosh Lahavdil Azam in a Malacha, three to stop people doing Malacha in advance of Shabbos, Shalosh Lahavdil Mikarzokol, and three right before Shabbos began to tell people Shabbos has almost arrived. Yeah, so that's the list. The list is a typical day there were 21. How so? Three to open the gates, and then nine plus nine. Nine with the Tamid Shal Shachar, nine Shal Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim. So that was a typical day where there were nine plus nine, and then three when they opened the gates in the morning, but only 21. But other days, there would be additional, Mustaf another nine, and then Shabbos another six, and then the max would be on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, on Sukkos, when they would also draw the water, and the other gates were open, and Nisuch HaMayim, etc. Gemara. Masneis is like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah comes out against Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, there's a machlokes Tanoim here, and this Mishnah is not like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know? This Tanya. We learn in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, HaPoiches, the minimum, one who reduces, LeYivches Misheva, will never have less than seven. So our Mishnah says the least you'll ever have is 21. Rabbi Yehuda said the least you'll ever have is seven. V'moysif LeYosef al Sheishesre. And one who adds never adds more than 16. We said 48. But my kamiflikis, what's this machlikis tanoim? Rabbi Yehu, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehu. We don't know who our Mishnah is like yet. But it says, what is this machlikis? Rabbi Yehu savar tekiya trua tekiya achasi. The tekiya trua tekiya is one mitzvah. It's all one. So, wait a minute. So what's the minimum? According to the minimum, our Mishnah is 21. And according to Rehuda, the minimum is?
Is
it
14 or 18?
Seven.
Seven.
Ha-poiches le-yivches mi-sheva. Va-moisif le-yivches mi-sheishesre. Right? So the minimum, according to him, is seven. So 21 is the minimum in our Mishnah. Rehuda says the minimum is seven. Maximum in our Mishnah is 48. And the maximum, according to Rehuda, is 16. So Gemara says, what's the machlokes? Machlekes is, but my kamifligi, what are they arguing about? Rabbi Yehuda, sover tekiya, trua tekiya, achasi. Trua tekiya, trua tekiya is one mitzvah. So how many does he say there are? Minimum? Seven. What's seven times three?
21.
Oh, so that's the machlekes. It's just a question of how to look at it. They both agree how many blasts there were. The question is, do we view them as one mitzvah, or we view each blast as its own separate mitzvah? So if each blast has its own separate mitzvah, you're going to say they're 21. But if it's a tekiya trua tekiya, well, one mitzvah, then they're only a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 16.
Are these allowed for the whole city here, or just like?
I don't know if there's ever a chazal that's like it carried so far. I don't remember.
Or is it just like when you're in shul, it's loud?
I assume that they must have been rather loud, and I don't know if the ones for Shabbos were louder than the others, but they were to inform people that they need to do something. So, you know, whereas most of them were just for the Karban, so it didn't have to be loud enough for anyone outside Beis HaMikdash to hear. It sounds like the ones that at least were for Shabbos were for other people to hear outside Beis HaMikdash. So I don't know if those were louder. They were always that loud. Good question. Rabbanan Savri Tekiya Lachud, a Trua Lachud, that each one is independent, the Kiya is independent, and the Trua is independent, and therefore he says 21 is the minimum. My time in Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so where are they coming from? What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Uskatem Trua. It's interesting that the way this all goes back, the way the Gemara is going to learn it out, is from the times of the Mishkan, when Moshe Rabbeinu, so he had his Chatzotzos, and there was tekiyas, truas, and tekiyas that were blown for different purposes in the midbar. So the pasuk here, and our fancy gemara is on the side, uskatem trua sheinis v'nasu amachanos, that you blow a trua again, and that's the sign that the machan is going to travel. Chayim teimana, trua yisko l'maseyem.
Fine. So sometimes there were certain types of blasts
that were blown so people would know it's time to get together. Moshe Rabbeinu has something to tell us all. Sometimes, if it was blown in a certain way, it was for the machane to travel. Okay, but either way, the pasuk says, "Skatim trua." So what? Rashi doesn't say. Okay. In the parentheses, it says, "Uksiv trua yisko," and it says, "Yishe below a trua." So the problem in the pasuk is basically that it says, "Usikatem trua." What language is tika? Tikia. So how do you do a tikia to a trua? Make up your mind. If it's a trua, say you blow a trua. If it's a tikia, say you blow a tikia. How do you tikia a trua? See, just as tikia really means to blow. That's all it means. It just means a certain blast. It means blow a trua. But then why is it referred to as a tikia? So based on that, Rabbi Yehuda says that they all go together. That the tekiah, trua tekiah, is how you blow a trua. It's with a tekiah in the beginning. And then from the other pasuk, we'll see, uksiv trua yisko, that's why you have the parentheses here, that you see it in that part of the pasuk, it says, utrua yisko. So the language of tekiah comes after the trua. So there's a tekiah before the trua, and there's a tekiah after the trua. Haketa tekiah utrua achasi. So that's what it means, is that it's all really one mitzvah, that it's to blow a tekiah before the trua, and then a tekiah after the trua. That's one mitzvah. That's called blowing a trua. Blowing a trua is called uskatem trua, and then utrua yisko, that it's the way you have to blow a trua is with a tekiah before and the tekiah after. So that's all one thing. Virabbanan, and Rabbanan, we hold that it's called three things, three mitzvahs. Haho, lipshutu lefanel acharehu da'asa. It's not because it's one mitzvah, it's because that's the manner in which you have to blow. There has to be a tekiah and a tekiah before and a tekiah afterwards, that's all. And then the parentheses say, Rabbi Yehuda lefanel acharehu minhalei nafkala mishaynis. How does he learn you have to have one afterwards? From the end of the pasuk, where it says, shaynis. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that it says uskatem trua means that the trua must come with a tekiah. That's all one mitzvah. So how do you know there's one afterwards? So according to this part of the Gemara, that's why it's a little bit of maybe a girsa issue. But according to this part of the Gemara, it's because it says the word sheinis. They're blowing them a second time. Uskatem trua sheinis is the tekiah in the beginning and the tekiah in the end. Rabbanon my tamayu. So Rabbanan, where are they coming from? What's their reason? So, I mentioned to you that Moshe Rabbeinu with his chatzotzros had different types of blasts. They didn't have different notes, right? It was just a long trumpet. Not like a trumpet like we have today that has the three different, what do you call them? Keys or notes? What? Whatever you call those. These were just, so the way that you would indicate what you're trying to get across is not with a different note, but it's in the way that you blow it. So tekiah is, you know, just a one long blast, and a trua is, as we know, a trua. So when he was blowing a blast to hakiles a kol, to get everyone together to make an assembly, tisko velo yisariyu, you blow a tekiah and you don't blow a trua. But wait a minute. According to Yehuda, that's all one mitzvah, right? The way that you blow a trua is by blowing a tekiah. So according to that, you're doing half the mitzvah? Visal kadaitach tekiah trua agazi. If you hold that the way you blow a trua is with a tekiah before, and perhaps even with one afterwards, so then, Amar Rachmana, the merciful one said, Hashem says, palga the mitzvah avid? Palga lo avid? You're supposed to do half a mitzvah and half a mitzvah you don't do? What do you mean? If you're blowing a trua by definition means it has a tekiah before and even a tekiah afterwards. So how can it be that to gather the nation you do half a mitzvah? Doesn't make sense. It must be that each one is an independent blast, and sometimes you blow a tekiah, and sometimes you blow the tekiah and a trua, or whatever. They each are independent. So how did Rabbi Yehuda answer that? Rabbi Yehuda, ha'hula siman ba'almu da'asa. That's only as a sign in general it's coming to. It's not coming to accomplish a mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah. when there's a certain times of karbanos and all these kinds of things, there's a mitzvah to be done. Whenever you speak about blowing a trua for a mitzvah must have a tekiah in the beginning and at the end. That's the mitzvah. Here's not a mitzvah. It's just a bell. It's just a blast to get people's attention. It's time to get together for the assembly. So good kasha. So how did the Rabbanan now, they use that as a proof that are independent mitzvahs. What do they do about that, Rabbanan? Simanahu, you're right. Of course it's a sign that everyone should gather together. But Rahmana Shavya mitzvah. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's what you have to do, so it takes on the nature of a mitzvah. And so it's legitimate to look at it like any other mitzvah, that's how Moshe Rabbeinu had to blow them in order to gather the nation. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed him to do it in that way. Memela, that's a mitzvah. So it gets the regular structure of any mitzvah, and therefore we are justified in learning out the mitzvah blasts from the chatzotzos, from the blasts to gather the nation together. Kimanaz lohadamer of Kahana. So who does it go like? Who's the following go according to? This that Rav Kahana said, Ein bein tekiah letrua, v'loy klum. There is nothing that separates between the tekiah and a trua, nothing at all. You'll notice that is a double language. He should have said, Ein bein tekiah letrua. There's no hefsek allowed between the tekiah and the trua. Why does he have to add v'loy klum and nothing? Like, that's just repetitive. Kiman, who's that in according to? Kiribi Yehuda. Obviously, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds that if the definition of a trua is that there's a tekiah before and after. So that's why you can't have any hefsek in between the tekiah and the trua, because that's one blast. That's called the trua. But according to the Rabbanan, who hold their each independent blast, there's something called a tekiah, there's something called a trua, there's something called a tekiah. So why can't you have a hefsek in between them? Gemara says, Jeda, obviously. Obviously, it's according to him, because according to the Rabbanan, you can't have a hefsek between them. You're 100% correct. So what are you trying to say? Ma'od is same. I might have thought if you look at Rabbanan. No, maybe even according to the Rabbanan, hold it separate blasts, separate mitzvahs, without fukim in Rabbi Yochanan. And he's just coming to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar, Shama Teisha, Tekiyos Teisha, Shas Bayayim, and Rosh Hashanah. If a person is trying to hear all the blasts of the Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, and he hears 9 tekiyos in 9 different hours of the day, they're totally dissociated with their tekiyos. The blasts that he hears are totally dissociated with the trua, with the shvarim, which whatever is supposed to blow. The whole day long, he manages to hear the appropriate amount of blasts, but they're not together. He says, "You're yotze, you're yotze." So apparently, a hefsek gadol is allowed. There's no problem with hefsek between them. So one might have thought. Same thing when it comes to the blast by the Karbanos, that when it comes to all the various blasts in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe we hold a Rabbi Yochanan, and maybe the Rabbanon hold a Rabbi Yochanan, that even though they're separate mitzvahs, so you could have, you know, the whole day long, because they're separate mitzvahs, you could have the whole day long in between them. Kamash Malan, coming to teach us that it's not true, that even according to the Rabbanon who hold their separate mitzvahs, this is not like Rabbi Yochanan. You don't have the whole day. They still have to be closely associated with one another. Tekiah, trua, tekiah. How do you know? Maybe in a chanami, that's right. Maybe you are allowed to have the whole day with all kinds of long hefsakes in between them. Imkain, if that's right, my veloy klum. Then why did he have to say there's no break between them, veloy klum, not at all? Meaning, sounds like you might have thought that a break is okay, and I'm trying to tell you, you can't have, in this particular case, you can't have a break at all. So, okay, so that makes sense. It could even be according to the Rabbanon. You might have thought, again, let's work out the Gemara. I might have thought that this is even the Rabbanon coming to exclude Rabbi Yochanan. So if it's coming to exclude Rabbi Yochanan, that means you just can't have a large hefsek, but a small hefsek would be okay. So why does it have to say v'loy klum, and I don't have a hefsek at all? Because this is not the opinion of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon say a small hefsek is fine, because they're independent mitzvahs. There's a trua, there's a tekiah. They're not the so closely associated with one another. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that's how you blow a trua. A trua means there has to be a tekiah before and after. So you can't have a hefsek at all. And that is what Rav Kahana was coming to say. He was not coming to tell you that the Rabbanon don't go to the extreme of Rabbi Yochanan. Do they not? I have no idea. But that's not what Rav Kahana is trying to say. Rav Kahana was only going according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there cannot be a hefsek at all. because they are all considered, that's how you blow a trua with a tekiah before and afterwards. What is the chiddush of telling us that? Because you might have thought that maybe we pass in like the Rabbanon, and that one is allowed to have a minor hefsek or something like that. No. You can't have a hefsek at all, because we paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Kahana seems to be saying, and not like the Rabbanan. And therefore, when we view the tekiah, trua tekiah, as one mitzvah, and not as different components, not different mitzvahs.